Pathways to Joy.
Pathways to Joy. So we're going to do this Pathways to Joy message now. Interesting thing. So, first of all, we're not going to explain the Qur'an. Ah, no. I want to go back to the last time. The last time we spoke about Torah and the greatness of Torah. Now, in terms of working out a way, you have a bit of a interlude, maybe 15 minutes here. Okay. I should have paused it, but I didn't.
Okay.
So you might want to get rid of it at some point. I don't know.
All right.
Whatever you want. I was just saying, you know, here are Pathways to Joy, and I had this for Yom Tov, and then, no, actually, he left his. I was like, I didn't even know. You know.
All right. Sorry.
You okay?
It was good.
Yeah, it's good. It's not going away.
Being up all night and all day, it's a problem. I suggest these, although they're not great for the stomach. So, now it is. I just want to finish from the last time. If you were talking about the Esbolos, for sure into the Torah, the way to do Esbolos and connecting with Torah is to do Esbolos about what we learned. That's what we said. And in general, the concept we're learning about the greatness of Torah, how powerful it is, how wonderful it is. You have to really be able to doubt about it and ask Hashem for it. At least visualize and just try to ask, let me feel the sweetness of Torah. Because even after, if you feel it, you're beyond everything. And that's really what we want to get to. It's a very powerful way to heal all the problems and to hold on throughout the problems is Torah. That's what Rav Shach, if we're already on the topic, right? Rav Shach, he was married, he lived in a very small place. I mean, we're talking about a one-room apartment or something with a sheet of a part of the apartment where he married his uncle's daughter, I think he married his cousin. And they lived in the house with his father-in-law, and they had one little room. And they had a baby girl, and they lost her. Very sad. So he said, if not for the Torah, which is my pleasantness, I would have been lost in my destitution, my lack, my poorness, my pain. So there is an aspect of learning. When a person learns Torah, he can get to a place where everything is wonderful. And we're trying to get there, but like we have to know that that's a very strong way. If we can get to the light of the Torah, then we're in a very good place. Really, we're getting somewhere good. So I have to dive into Hashem. I say, Hashem, please help me, like, make the Torah tefillah. Make what I learned in Torah so it should be a prayer to Hashem. That's the one we introduced. Both of us, that's at least the path we can do in terms of the last one we spoke about in the Torah. One more thing. Another person lost a child. I forgot who it was. I think it was in Yerushalayim, one of the big rabbis here. And this person, he said part of what gave him. So I asked him, how do you seem like so, like you got totally got over it and went, continue with a lot of confidence? He said, how did you manage that? So he said, when you learn Talmud and you learn the deeper. You know, he's talking about revealed Torah, like learn it in depth, learn it well. You start to see how little you understand. You start to have good questions, then you find these great answers. So you realize that there is a possibility in life of having a question without an answer. I don't know the answer. It doesn't mean there is an answer. It just means I don't know the answer. So you don't have to be bothered by it. You don't have to, like, kill your voice. I don't know the answer. It's a question. It doesn't mean there's no answer. You just don't have an answer. That was how he said, that really did it for me, enabled me to be able to move forward and say, okay, this is the question, I don't know the answer. Okay, so I don't have to, it's like, no, he said, if I was the ignorant, if I didn't know, so then I would feel very hurt. He said, but if the minute I know, so it's that, like, and that's a very wondrously great level. I'm not from such tests. But that's another, this, the power of Torah, if we just can connect to Torah in a real way, it becomes everything is perfect, everything is fine. So the next one I want to do, it's really two. If you want to do this piece in the Kutta Lech that we want to do, which is based on the Qumran, there are two different facets that the Kutta Lech deals with. So we'll do the first one today, and we'll try to do the second one tomorrow. Okay, the first one is turning the depression and anguish into joy. Rabbi Nachman says in the Kuvim Aran, he says, a person's happy, his problems, his sorrow flees. He has to take the sorrow and drag it into the joy. Like dancing, people dancing, so when someone's on the side, grab hold and draw him into the circle and you can make him happy anyway. Even if he was feeling remote and distant, he'll get into it if he just dances. It's the same thing. That's how joy works. So the Muslim has a lot to say about this. We're going to talk a little bit about Perivirvi Gimel, which is a very wondrous, deep explanation. It actually talks about Pesach also, so we'll see that as well. We were just speaking about this. So the question is, how do I do that? It sounds so nice, you know. I have my inadequacies, I have my problems. How do I drag him into the circle and make myself happy despite them, turn them to joy? I mean, it sounds wonderful, but what do I do? I want to do it. I'm signing up. Anything, fine. How do I do that? So as always, he just gives such powerful answers. Like, he's just unbelievable. He says like this. He says, listen, it's very simple. Why is a person feeling bad? Why is a person feeling bad? Why is he having such a hard time? Because he has his minuses. I am this, I am that, I have this, I have that. It's all these problems. So it's like, why should I feel happy? Like, why should I feel happy if I'm such an X, Y, Z? Like, again, minus 53, level minus 53, because it's totally, you could get through it. Like, I'm just very nice. But meanwhile, I feel like, you know, minus 53, will I ever warm up? You know, I just feel like I'm a frostbite, God forbid. So how am I supposed to generate that into joy? So Nelson, as always, he turns everything on its head. He says, no, that's a reason to be happy. Why? So it's very, very powerful. He says, because you have these wondrous, wondrous mitzvahs, these wondrous, wondrous, special good things that you do. Let's go in the morning. The person, all sorts of different things that he does every day. He's praying to Shem, he's helping other people, he's doing whatever he's doing. And you have to think for a minute. You say, this is just sublime, special life. How did it get to me? After all, I have all these like checklists in the mindset. I know those very well, right? So how did I get this? How did I get to it? How did I get to this? How did I get that I keep kosher? How did that happen? How did I keep kosher? What's keeping kosher is unbelievable. How could it be that I'm quiet in shul? So as a person quiet in shul, he's able to access this very, very high place. Very, very, very high discipline. High spiritual level, put like that. Very high spiritual level. It's a very, very big thing. The person who's not, he loses out. If you ask the person's quiet, when he has the ability to speak when he shouldn't speak, there's no way of imagining what every second of silence is worth to evaluate. You just don't understand what's going to be the reward for that. You don't get it. So how do I get this? He said, how could it be? He said, that's why the Baal Teshuva is higher than someone who's a tzaddik, because the Baal Teshuva takes the negative and turns it to positive. By appreciating that, wow, every step, he's like, wow, how did I get this? He knows he's not worthy. It's just a gift from Hashem. So it's not mine. But that is a big reason to be happy, not despite the negative, because of the negative. So that's exactly what he said. You schlep it in, grab it, and say, I have this problem. Okay, very nice. But how did I get this? Learn Torah. Wow, Chut Shel Chesed. Unbelievable. Learn the Rebbe's Torah. How did I get this? How did I get it? What did I do? How did this? Don't deserve it. On the contrary, I'm the most undeserving. Okay, good, good. The more undeserving you are, the more happy you have to be. So Gilevsky says a parable, a beautiful parable about this. He said, imagine some guy who doesn't deserve anything and is some very powerful person, I don't know, maybe a very wealthy person, or someone who's a politician, if that's important to him, if not, it's not the rabbi, if that's important to him, whatever's important to him, like, suddenly picks him up and makes him his secretary, gives him a big job, and makes him an important person, how much would he feel gratitude towards this important individual who gave me this elevated need for, like, I don't deserve it, I have no skills, no special qualifications, just gave me this special gift. He said, now imagine this guy who's sleeping at a bus stop. He's got nails like, never cut in, like, I don't know, a month's hair, stinking, hardly has anything to eat. Nowhere to sleep, sitting on the bus stop. And here he is. And this limousine pulls up, and this guy says, the bath, gives him a place to stay. And he picks him up. Would he feel more gratitude than some regular guy? Of course he would. I mean, if he's a manager, he's a human being. So, wow, you know, I was nowhere. I was in the gutter. And you just, I have no words. He said, that's us. We're the second guy. So the more you're in the gutter and you're helpless and you're whatever, and Hashem gives you everything, and Hashem gives you these mitzvahs, these wonderful mitzvahs forever, the more you need to appreciate that. And that's a reason to be happy, because I was in the gutter. The more in the gutter, the more absolutely helpless and unable to deal with my problems myself I was, the more thankful I have to be that Hashem took care of me. That's his very beautiful parable. Oh, because that's the main simcha. Not to know about Hashem. Knowing about Hashem is the most important thing that brings the greatest joy. So bringing the greatest joy is just to bring you from a distant place, and connecting it to Hashem, just like he's suggesting. Yeah. So that's the first thing. So it says every mitzvah a person does, the further away he is from Hashem, the more happy he has to feel. And he should feel. That's only worth that he feels.
That's a very popular concept to joy. Gary Plitzkin does it, you know, he does seminars on that. And a lot of people, a lot of social workers in Jewish line, do workshops on joy. Joy. I mean,
wow.
Joy is always in there. It's in the phraseology.
Wow.
And my wife even has a business card that says, don't postpone joy.
Excellent.
So it's like, I know it's very important, because without joy, your mind gets clouded. It doesn't function normally. If you have joy and happiness in your mind, you can see through issues and problems that are affecting you.
Absolutely. You don't have any vitality in life without joy. You really don't. Oi! We're very lucky. Very, very, very lucky. It's like what Nustin says. We have a lot of people.
I don't know how to explain it.
It's like you're trying to excavate a lot. But you don't, maybe you don't have the right machinery. It's very frustrating. You have a pickaxe or something. Even a drill, but you need like this, you know, some caterpillar, or what, some very powerful machine. So if the Rinachan gives us these powerful machines, like sort of, if you just use them and you want to use them right. So we're very, very lucky. And we have these wonderful, wonderful treasure houses of how to be happy no matter what. I have a friend who was going through a crisis, and I feel bad for him with his wife. He's having a hard time. And I don't know, he told me I need to speak to you, but somehow, I didn't know, he didn't say it was a crisis. So I didn't speak to him. He seemed very relaxed, and I was very busy. So I wasn't able to speak to him, unless if I'd known, I would have made time immediately. So I spoke to him this morning. I said, if you need to speak now, fine, I really need to sleep. But I didn't speak much last night. But if you insist, I'll talk to you. Then I'll call you later on tonight. It's easier for me. He said, no, it's not a problem. He said, I wrote like a whole bunch of these pathways to joy. Like, I don't know, last year or whatever. He said, I read number 6 to 9. I'm a different person. I can wait. It's okay. Like, you just have to, I want very much to be with housing people. You can really, I know for me, you can just take one of these and just, you can go with it till the end, and it's okay. You can just change everything. It's like, you're ready's power. It's unbelievable. Yeah. That's what Nustin says also. That's the aspect of scared also. So turning the depression and anguish into joy. So says, wow, I'm from wherever I'm from. Just how did I get this? So that is the most important element in the Torah. It's the main simcha. So that's the way we got the Torah. So that's why Yisro, what is Yisro doing? Who cares Yisro? What's the portion named after him? Suddenly he's surprised. He's like, what does that have to do with it? The portion of the Torah? He said, yes. He said, that's correct. the Torah, the Simcha, was after Yisro came and did his gifts. He came from, I think he brought in this light a new way, and he can appreciate it even more. That's how Nelson explains it.
Did you hear Rabbi Rush speak on that?
No.
He said that Yisro actually took something away from the Jewish people. He said that imagine having the opportunity to be told whether you're right or wrong by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro said, have judges. But everybody then lost their ability to talk directly with Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's true. It's certainly true. No, that was a question that came up when we were speaking to Parsha. A friend of mine is a lawyer. His friend is also a lawyer, I think. And he's wondering, the big Hiddush is he made up a circuit court. Now we know, it doesn't seem to be such a big novelty. So that's what I told him. I said, the question was whether, Moshe, what he was doing was not natural. And he was accessing above nature. So which is that worthwhile, or should we have people? That's the question. So Yisro felt you should have people, and it shouldn't be Moshe. It shouldn't be, you should access such a thing. Moshe was not certain. But he was validated, though, because you're right. It's better for us that we have Moshe. But it's even better for us to already have some kind of a system so that when Moshe leaves the world, if we're not Zocher, I can continue and it's not going to be one. There's no Moshe. Yeshua can't do what Moshe did, presumably. So then it's like, okay, so we need to have a system. That's what was precious. On the contrary, Moshe got in trouble because he actually said, and we would say, why should he get in trouble? If they have a hard case, I'll deal with it. What do you mean you'll deal with a hard case? They can't deal with a hard case without you? When you have a hard case, you have to ask Hashem, you're not going to remember. If those stuff could come, nope, no answer. So he didn't have a right, even to say a hard case, what do you mean you'll feel it? The whole idea is to have a system, but it's time, they'll never have.
Didn't he lose a lot of Torah when he said that?
Huh?
Didn't he lose a lot of Torah?
Yeah. He lost Torah and he had to. When the daughters of Slavchad came and said, can we inherit? He didn't know the answer. And he was taught the answer. He didn't remember. He had to ask. So the hard case, you will ask me now. Because that's not what you should have said. It's like, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong bar to hold at. Wow, if you can't even say that. I was doing everything. I was like, don't say that either. Say, I don't know. It's not if you want, don't be involved. I don't even know. What should he have said? Who knows if he have said anything? But the idea was, no, when you didn't have a setup, it can't only be Moshe. And that was one of the big mistakes of the Golden Calf. They go as love. That's what Nelson says. They showed the Jews, they saw they with the Ruch Kodesh or whatever, that they were doing a funeral for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now make idolatry? You said, no. They're doing a funeral. Let's say that's true. So what? Shem took it out of Egypt. It'll all work out. It's all going to be fine. Learn him.
It's Moshe took it.
Yeah. Moshe was the messenger. But you don't go bonkers using a Moshe. And he said, what do you think? You think that his work and what he did getting us out, which never ever happened, all his miracles, they didn't leave an indelible impression on the world and a pathway we really continue following, whether he's here or not? So of course they did. So what are you talking about? That's a remote, really messed up place. So we're trying to get to this place where I transform the depression into joy. It's a very, very sublime idea because it means that the more reason I have to be depressed, the happier I will become. This is exactly what you'd say. What are you talking about? You mean that if I'm the lowest, I'll be happier than someone who's not like that? Yes. And there's a lot of reasons for this. But one reason that he says is very simple. Because I need to appreciate more of the life that Hashem gives me. And it's not coming to me. So that's the light of the Mechanic of the Lower. That he doesn't say that. But he talks about it also, a different piece about this. So the light of Chanukah menorah says, "You light your house, now to use it. You don't feel that it's mine. It's not coming to me. It's just a gift from Hashem." So that's all the mitzvahs we do, all these beautiful things that we do. When we help someone, when we do what Hashem says, when we work on something, when we change something, all these beautiful things that we do, that all bring the light to my house, whoever I am. There's no checklist. There's no test. We don't say, well, you want like the menorah, but wait a minute. Do you resemble the Kohen Gadol? I mean, do you resemble a coin? Do you resemble somebody holy who can bring the light of Hashem into the darkness? We don't say that. We just say, oh, you want it? Go ahead. In my house? Only in your house. You can't light the street. You can't make sure this is a different thing. But you want to do your mitzvah? You have to light your house. Why? Because your house also has a relation of the mitzvah of Hashem. But I'm so far. Then you have more of a revelation. That's what it doesn't say. Then you have more. That's not less. Even more so, you should light it. And don't use it because it's not for you. It's a gift from Hashem. But you have to be more happy. It's an unbelievable idea. Unbelievable concept. It's a concept. That's what Rustin says. This is the idea of joining something that are opposites. There's an aspect of there's like spaces. There are spaces. You want to play a musical instrument, and you're not playing spaces in the Quran, you have. You can't just hit notes. You have to like pause a little at least. You breathe in, you breathe out. So if you just take the piano and hit keys and you never pause, the music is going to sound atrocious. Usually, maybe there is such a thing, I don't know, but generally speaking, you're not going to want to listen to it. You don't really care about some 3-year-old putting his hands on the keys, even if you tell him which keys. No song just sounds like it's worthless. This is the same thing in every person's life. The ups and downs, that's what makes the music. The fact that I'm so far away and I'm come close to Hashem, I reveal Hashem in this way and that way through God, through doing what I need to do, that makes a beautiful, beautiful sound for Hashem. That's the first thing that he explains. That's the first thing that he says about music and 10 types of songs. That's probably going to be tomorrow. But the first thing is to realize that this is the idea of music. So this one aspect, this one concept, it's called turning the frustration and the world anguish into joy, transforming into joy. And that we all can do anytime we want. Now again, as always, there's always a pitfall. We have to be very, very careful to have a positive attitude, but not to use that as an excuse. I can't use that as an excuse for not to change my biases. I can't use an excuse not to yearn to change my biases. And only I can determine where am I really holding? Where am I really? What do I need to do? Do I need to be striving to do better? I'm not supposed to like shut that off. Sometimes I'm so, sometimes a person is so, or damage or just having a hard time, just like getting up in the morning and going through your day is fine enough for me now. So I don't need to work at that point. I don't know, says you need to work on anything, just hang on and do what you can and be happy. And that's it, that's going to heal you. When you're healed, though, you need to try to strive. You need to try to strive to change the mindset, to change something that you need to change. You can't just stay the same, that's not the idea either. I need to change, so I can't use it as an excuse. On the other hand, though, I have to be very filled with endless, boundless joy for every good thing that I have, because, especially because of all the minuses in bad. Especially, which is very wondrous when we think about it. It's like enough to make you happy, like for the rest of your life. It's an unbelievable concept, unbelievable thing. Where I come from, where I am, that I get this. I just have to be. I'm like awed. Why you're just pulling me out of the bus stop and just giving me literally everything, like what? Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we're the opposite. Rogulevsky says, and he has another parallel, if he uses it this way, but it doesn't matter. He said, we're the exact opposite. The guy's like getting a stock towel with anything, food, anything you need, and we say, what, Pepsi? We hate Pepsi. We only like Coke. That's us. What, this problem? What that? That's a mitzvah? What, then call that a mitzvah? It's all free. We complain? And you're like, come on. That's what we are. No, I don't like Pepsi. I only like Coke. What is the problem? What happened? You lost track of the fact that it's all gifts. It's all gifts from Hashem. I just have to be very happy. But I love how he always does this. He has this beautiful way of just like, so you're the worst person, huh? You're so far. You're so not putting together. What are my good points worth? Much more than if you were. It flips it all around. He has this incredible way. Flipping exactly the opposite. You're like, what? That's true, actually. That's a good angle. Like, well, unbelievable. He does this a lot. And it's just, I have never seen parallels, even though I love everything and thank God I'm hands on a lot of things. But things like this, I just have never seen in my life. It just doesn't exist. And as time goes on, people are, they're bringing it in. But it's unbelievable. It's like the Torah Mashiach. I can't tell you how incredible. there's just something to say. No matter what, that's not a reason to be depressed because of your problems. That's why you need to be happy. What are you talking about? It's like, no, it's not something that's shallow. Well, the glass half empty, half full, blah, blah. It's so deep. It's like, yeah, that's true. That's so true. That's today, that's the Yathra Shema. Tomorrow we'll talk about how this continues to song. What is song? And if there's 10 types of song, and what are they, and how are they? That's the next topic of this piece of the Dodot.